Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, on this week's episode of NBA Weekly, we are talking about the conference semifinals, right? We're talking about the Celtics-Cavs game. We're looking ahead to the Houston Rockets-Warriors series, and we're going to be talking about some NBA news this week, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin. What I'm whipping up. This is America. Mm-hmm. Don't catch you slipping
now. Don't catch you slipping now. Mm-hmm. Fuck what I'm whipping now. This is America. Good choice,
Owen. I know, right? Great choice.
Full disclosure, I ain't even like this dude till that song came out.
Really?
Man.
No?
Really? I was on the street, too. I was like, man, dude, whack. And I was like,
you're like, yeah. Why did you do this?
I felt so black when I watched the video. I was like, my blackness is...
Next thing you know, you're at home doing this.
Yeah.
You're like going
I was having, but I had that same outfit on last night.
Definitely.
Shout out to your boy.
Shout out to the boy, Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
All right, man.
What is up, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us this week on NBA Weekly here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your girl, Christine Alexis, and I'm joined by my lovely panel. Guys, introduce yourselves.
I'll go first. So I was still jamming out. Like,
sorry.
Gambino's got me hooked with this one. But David Blum for if you're tuning in for the first time, if you haven't remembered me. Mm-hmm. Hi, what's up? How's it going?
Hey everybody, Monty here, ready to talk about this game.
Hey boy, Evan T. Mack here, what's going on, y'all? What's good? Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, happy Mother's Day!
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day. Thanks so much, you guys. I see there's people in the live chat right now. Shout out to you guys
for
joining us real, real late here on the West Coast on Mother's Day.
Seriously.
Yeah, thank you.
But you know, the NBA gave us a game today, so we got to talk about it.
Can we talk about, before we really go into it, can we talk about how they gave us one game? I really don't understand why the Warriors got such a big break.
They actually
finished before the Cavaliers.
Right.
And then they're playing later?
How'd that work out?
I really hate how everybody's trying to coddle Curry's injury over here.
Where'd he do that at? Why Monday?
Why are we playing Monday? Why did you have to... No.
My gripe with today is how early the game was.
It was 12:30.
Because it should have been two games.
You put one at 12:30.
Okay, your team should have played since they finished earlier than the Cavs.
Listen, I'm thinking about stretching out basketball as long as we can.
For sure.
So much left. So
great.
I'll wait another day.
That's for sure. Fine. So your team still should have played first because that's really the fair way. I don't understand why even everybody's calling
the Warriors. Why y'all trying to get boy Steph all rested up?
Why are we getting him? Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean,
Warriors should have played today. Let's be real.
They want some. They want a part four.
Let's be real.
They want round four.
Let's be real.
Before we get too deep into this, I just got to say, Evan, in the chat, they are missing you dressing up on your wrestling shows. A lot of people want you to dress up here.
I'm going to need y'all to understand something here. I'm trying to work it out, man. I'm trying to be classy. I hear about people think I just dress like a fool all the time. My daddy was like, boy, if you don't put on a damn blazer... I can't have my dad coming for me, y'all. That's what this is about.
So you're wearing a tank top under the blazer?
Exactly.
Oh, classy.
Yeah, I gotta mix it up.
Classy.
Yeah, I gotta be. I still gotta rebel, man.
For sure.
My dad tuning in talking trash, so I gotta, you know what I mean?
I feel that.
Yo, chill, Pop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking classy.
We all look good tonight. How about that?
Yeah.
Y'all looking good.
Well, let's get into it. So the game that we did have today was game one. The Celtics defeated the Cavs 108-83.
It was breaks off that team.
Awful game.
Yeah, it was not a fun game.
It was not fun to watch. There wasn't any moment where I was like, oh man, the Cavs are going to get back in this thing. Let me keep watching. I walked away from the TV a couple times. Like,
they cut it to 12 that one time?
One time to 12. Yeah. Their biggest lead in the entire game was like 3. Yeah. And it was the very beginning of the game. It was just watching the game. It felt effortless from the Celtics. Tatum would get the ball and score. Rozier, I think, like 8 points, but still, he was dishing out the ball, like 8 or 9 assists. It's my boy, you know, I gotta be high on him.
The boy's hooping, man.
I always think of you now every time I
you
see
you. You got to.
It's the effect.
Yeah. Yeah, join
the it's the effect.
You can't think about Bloom without thinking about Rozier.
Yeah.
But Horford was doing good. Morris was doing. They're all doing good, and they were. Their defense was amazing too. That's every time the Cavs would take it down the floor, like they'd have nothing. Mm-hmm. They'd pass the ball around, but unless LeBron was given a semi-open shot or like you know one of those little LeBron layups, like they weren't scoring.
Yeah,
you know about the LeBron layups.
Super boring. Anything it goes in. Yeah, super boring game. Like you just said, effortless for the Celtics. But I don't know about you. Maybe it's just because I'm a big LeBron fan, but I feel like LeBron does this every game one. He kind of like takes a step back and he kind of observes. I didn't see an effort from LeBron like we've seen in the last couple games. Mm-mm. I feel like he kind of does this. He observes and is kind of like, okay, so this is what you're going to do? Got it. Now I know what to do. Because let's be real, he didn't give us the effort that we've seen the last how many games from LeBron? And you're right. The Celtics put it in fourth gear in 10 seconds and then they never had a chance of coming back. But I don't know. I'm not really worried.
Miss Monty,
about
you do know a thing or two about basketball. There's nothing more refreshing than ladies that know basketball. It's a beautiful thing. But LeBron James is sitting around like, all right, Brad Stevens, let me see what you're gonna do. Mm-hmm. Oh, for real, okay, you got the double team coming over the top, everybody switching everything, hands all over the place, waving in the air, waving like they just don't care. I get it. I understand. We understand, Brad Stevens. You're the greatest coach in history.
Yep, we get it.
We understand. You're guarding LeBron like Popovich guards him. You are very smart, yep. Dude. Game two is the game that decides this whole series.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
If they get the doors blown off him for after this, they will get swept.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. Basketball is a very simple thing. And it's one of those weird things. It's the only sport in the whole world, every sport, cricket, badminton, handball, lacrosse. It's the only sport in the world where if shots just start falling, they all just start falling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How crazy.
How in the hell are they shooting as a team 60% for the whole half?
No, that's stupid.
Do people know what 60% is? Bloom, 60%, what's that in baseball? Like batting like 450?
Oh, it's too much. It's way too much.
Too much. Yep. No, that's too much.
No, yeah. That's more. No, that's more. 60%.
What? People have no idea how much that is as a team.
Right.
And they ended shooting 51% as a team.
Everybody was contributing.
Yes.
What stood out to me was the fact that the Celtics had 60 points in the paint in this game.
Jeez, incredible.
Compared to the Cavs that had only 38 points. And they were 4 for 26 from 3-point range.
Yeah.
So the shots were not falling for them all night.
15%, you say?
Yes.
How you gonna win?
Yeah, that's the thing. No, they weren't gonna win putting up those numbers. And it's like you said before, I have to, you know, resign myself to the thought that maybe LeBron is just observing right now, because what else can be the reason behind a 15-point performance and 7 turnovers by yourself?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Not LeBron.
His head wasn't fully locked in. Maybe he was just figuring things out, trying to out-chess Brad Stevens
That's what he's doing. He knows how they're going to defend him now, so it's like game two is very important.
Yes.
Not just because you need it, because you have to get a game in Boston.
Yes.
You just have
of course. No, it's a thing. If you're the lower seed, you got to win a road game, which is bigger than people think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. So it's like, so we'll see what happens game two. If they lose game two, they're going to get swept.
Mm-hmm.
The Cavs will get swept. Yeah. It's just that simple, man. This Cavs team is doo-doo. Just because y'all need to understand something. Just because I ride with LeBron, just because I would name my first through fourth born son after LeBron James. Just because I want to lock LeBron James' hair. Just because I want to clone LeBron. This doesn't mean I gotta be crazy now. That team is doo doo.
No, they're awful. It's terrible. If the Celtics get in rhythm, that's it.
Because they're a great team.
They are so good. They are so good.
Oh goodness. Oh, I'm sorry, Bean. Girl, because I'm gonna forget this.
Yeah, go for it.
Can we talk? Because everybody, this is what they like to do. Because everyone gets sidetracked because LeBron James. They want to compare him to Michael Jordan. They spend so much time trying to say he's not the GOAT. So all these other athletes in the NBA, they don't get blamed for anything because it's all about LeBron, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one talks about how CP3 just got to a conference final for the first time and he just glossed over that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They need to talk about how, isn't this the biggest indictment on Kyrie Irving? It has to be. And everybody's just letting that dude sit on the sideline, laugh and stuff like that. Kyrie Irving, both teams he just played for, are in the finals.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Without him.
Yeah.
Now, so what I'm trying to say is he really that big of an impact on the floor? Is he really?
I know. What do the Celtics do in the offseason?
They're going to get Rozier a big check because he's going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
About to get paid.
He's going bye-bye?
Oh, I think you let him leave, though. I say let him leave.
If Kyrie's your future.
And you keep Kyrie and Hayward?
Yeah, no, keep Kyrie. Keep Hayward for sure.
You keep them both.
Yeah, no, give him a real season.
I think you need to give them that chance.
Yeah, give him a season.
Show us.
You give Hayward the season. You give Kyrie the season. You let Rozier walk because you know every single time a player out of nowhere just shows up for the playoffs, there's always a team like the Suns or the Kings or the Bulls so ready to be like, that's the face of our team right there.
$80 million. Because you see what happened with Saturday? He had a month and a half. He got $60 million.
He was sleeping on his friend's couch before he hit.
He ain't sleeping on no couches no more.
Isn't that crazy?
Was buying couches. Yeah, but like I said, that's he got $55 million from the Rockets. We think Rozier about to get on the open market.
That's really
he
true.
He's balling like this?
Too much.
I love Rozier, but regular season when he's playing down there in Phoenix. He's not going to be Eric Bledsoe 2.0. Okay, he's not going to be Steve Nash.
I was just about to say Eric Bledsoe. You don't see that happening? You don't see that?
No, he's not going to be Steve Nash 2.0. He doesn't have his Amari Stoudemire with him next to him.
I think we have to be careful as the media within these playoff times too. Is like when a player has a breakout performance or series, we just take it and run with it on another level. Now, with that being said, there have been so many good breakout rookie performances this year.
So it is
high time to kind of compare them and see what these players can leverage in the offseason based on what they've done so far. So I think it's interesting because all the attention has been on the Donovan Mitchells and the Ben Simmons. But let's talk about the rookies on the Celtics team and what they've been able
they're
to
doing
do.
They're doing real good. I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum.
Obviously.
Come on
so
now.
So good.
He's playing out of his mind. I mean, drafted, what was he drafted? Third? Mm-hmm. Third pick under who? Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball. Markelle Fultz forgot how to shoot, and Lonzo Ball has got a dad with control issues.
Oh, yeah.
No shots, LeVar. But
I'm throwing shots.
Yeah.
But you're going to kill that kid, bro.
But you got to let him hear from the coaches and the staff and the analytics team. Just go with the other two boys.
You got LeVar undermining Magic, though.
Yeah, no, LeVar.
I don't want to throw shade, but it's coming from over here.
David, you a classy gentleman. I'm going to throw shade.
I'm trying to be nice.
You can have a whole hour conversation about how terrible.
Let that boy cook.
That is for a different day.
Let him cook, please.
That will take us
We'll have the LeVar special. We'll just talk completely LeVar this entire show.
We're not going to do that because that's what he wants. Yeah, so we're not going to do that.
LeVar act like he's the only daddy that cares about his kids, man. You ain't the only one that cares.
Right? I can't. I can't with that guy.
God. He's like, I did really well with my sons. I'm like, okay.
You can't tell black parents not to be proud. They're going to be proud.
That's the same thing with Latin parents. I get
that's
it.
True,
but that boy, that man's tripping. Tripping, rolling down the hill, and just, I can't. So, how about them Celtics and the Cavs game?
The Celtics-Cavs. Well, before we round out talking about them, one thing I thought was funny, it was kind of circulating around social media this week, was a tweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let's pull that up. It's from Jason Tatum's Twitter asking Kim James to follow back. It's Larry Hughes' nephew from St. Louis and Abe and RJ little cousin and Justin's son follow back. He made sure LeBron knew the entire lineage of why they were in that photo together. Asking him for a follow back, and now fast forward, they're playing each other.
That's so crazy.
In these conference finals.
And one's balling out and one's left to 15 points.
Exactly.
I mean,
it's true, man. He's balling.
For right now.
He's got them young legs, man. LeBron eventually is going. Is I don't know when. Listen, because I quoted it saying in my house at night when I'm just by myself thinking crazy stuff. LeBron James is not Iron Man. I tell people this. LeBron James is the Iron Man suit. He is literally Iron Man suit. Tony Stark got that somewhere in the house. Anytime Tony Stark want to play pickup basketball, he jump inside that suit. And I'm a firm believer that's an Iron Man suit right there. I'm a firm believer. I have not confirmed it or not. I have not proven it. But that man is. He's like the Mach 23 is what I call it. Real talk, man. I just watched Avengers, so I'm like, real.
I was going to say, I'm like, right. Fresh I'm fresh out that way.
Yeah. I'm like, LeBron James is like an Iron Man suit. You get inside. I didn't even play basketball.
Well, what do you do? We haven't seen LeBron and Iron Man in the same room.
See what I'm saying? See, be with me. Conspiracy, she with me.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
One last thing going forward. I mean, we kind of spoke about it. Just things to look forward going to game two. I think that if the Celtics want to keep up this momentum, they need to keep Marcus Morris on LeBron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that defensive assignment seems to be going well
so far.
He's doing
pretty good.
It's going great.
It is. And what do you guys think that either team needs to do going forward?
I think LeBron's just got to find a way to beat this Brad Stevens defense. I mean, because that's the reason why.
Collective defense.
Exactly. That's the reason why they beat the 76ers, because they shut Ben Simmons down. Completely down. Joel Embiid had no help from him. Mm. One game, he scored 1 point. I mean, the 76ers, you could look back, and they lost that series. Mm-hmm. Most games in that series they lost, all four, except for maybe the first one, mm-hmm. were way too winnable. Mm-hmm. They just missed shots, missed opportunities, missed two layups by Joel Embiid, and then gets the ball stolen, knocked off him out of bounds. But LeBron's just got to find a way, because that's what Brad Stevens does. He's such a great coach. He knows how to coach specific stars.
He's like, you want, because hands are everywhere. They were deflecting so many passes from LeBron. And now it's going to come to this point where LeBron's going to figure it out. LeBron knows
this. Oh, he will. Yeah. LeBron, come on.
Let's stop. But like, it's like, these guys got to hit shots, man.
He needs his team. Goodness gracious, man. I don't know if they have it in them.
Yeah, this is a better Indiana.
They're a terrible defensive team.
This is not Indiana. This is a better Indiana.
So
LeBron had to do 40, 10, and 10 or whatever, and they barely beat Indiana.
Yeah, do it again.
This ain't Indiana.
And he can't score 15.
Let's say game two rolls around. Mm-hmm. Even if he had the same stats, 40, 10, whatever, mm-hmm. that's not enough to beat the Celtics.
Nope. No, you need...
Or to beat Brad Stevens.
Help. A lot of help from Kevin Love, mm-hmm. Jordan Clarkson, mm-hmm. Larry Nance Jr., George Hill.
Spoiler alert, team, you guys have to play too.
Yeah. No, yeah. it's not the Cleveland Jeez, LeBron.
And crackers, man.
I mean, I know it seems like it, but you need the help, and that's why
I can't stand it, Dave. Yeah. I can't stand it when I'm sitting here looking at the stat line. I'm looking at the stat like 4-2-1. I'm like,
No.
What is this?
They need guys like Kyle Korver and J.R. Smith to start contributing and the one thing that they're supposed to do, which is hit some threes. Hit some timely shots.
Missing everything. He was missing everything today. Everything he put up, contested, wide open, just rimmed out, bricks. Like, he's not hitting shots the way he should.
No. He's a streaky guy, though. He's super streaky.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, but I seen that stat at the bottom. It was like 25-2 run to open the game.
What? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly, yeah.
Was it
pitiful.
Like 17-0 run in the first quarter.
Not from the beginning.
Hilarious.
Well, the chat, CJ Holder says, if the Cavs lose game two, the series is over. Oh, wow. And Haywood Wong says, game two, the Cavs are winning it by 5 points. So
it seems like
it'll be a small margin on this second win.
Yeah, game two is everything. They will not beat the Celtics if they lose game two.
No, it's huge. They got to take that momentum going home. Yeah. They got to show the fans, hey, we can get one. We can beat this team. Because we said it before. Not like they literally have to win one on the road. Yeah. They have no choice.
Yeah, mathematically, they have to win one.
Mathematically. if you are like, oh, we'll be fine, we'll win every game at home. No, you won't.
No.
You won't be fine because you're not going to get past them and go to the finals for the, 20th straight season. I don't know.
Well, before we get into this Houston Rockets Warriors preview, I want to take a minute to talk about our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos, and let you guys know about her podcast. It's not something we've mentioned here on this channel before, but I want to talk to you guys about it because if you want to learn, grow, and have fun in all areas of your life, this podcast is one for you, which is why we're telling you about it right now. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, and it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. So today's Sunday, Friday. Make sure you put that on your calendar. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life. From health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more, let Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. I know there's a lot of guys probably listening on this channel, but it's still applicable. Lots of great advice on there.
Get on the podcast, y'all.
Yeah, on it, guys.
It's true.
Just go to iTunes.com and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos. It's free. And when you're there, let her know that the NBA Weekly Squad sent you.
Word.
Yeah.
Give
us the props. Let her know. We're really excited about this podcast, so I wanted to tell you about it. Be sure to rate and comment and check out Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition.
Yep.
Word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
For sure. All right. Let's switch gears a little bit. Tomorrow, my boys are playing.
Tomorrow
evening.
You don't hate that it's on a Monday?
I do.
It's gross.
I don't really do a lot on Monday nights, so
yeah, I'm hyped because I don't hate it. Monday
yeah, either. I mean, come on, it's Monday now.
Was it six?
It's 9
playoffs. On the east, so it's going to be 6 something.
Well,
I'll let y'all know in a second.
I can dig it.
Bam. 6 p.m. Eastern time. Easter. Pacific time. Y'all, it's been a long Sunday.
6 p.m. our time here in L.A. That's what you need to know.
Monzi, I love
Pacific time.
I kind of like the fact that you talked about
how long of a gap it's been since their last series, because within this week has given the media, every single channel, a chance to, you know, put out their Warriors Rockets predictions and previews and whatnot. So I wanted us to be able to have a chance to do that before tomorrow. So I'm going to kind of go through, I think, the different aspects of this series in terms of offense, defense, the system and the coach that we're playing within, who has the more hunger and the star player matchups, and just kind of talking about which team has the edge based on all of those things. Mm-hmm. So let's get into it, guys.
Get into it.
All right, so on offense, who has the edge here in terms of, like, firepower? We have KD, Curry, and Klay, obviously, mm-hmm. going against the main scorers, CP3 and James Harden. Who do you think has the edge here?
Yeah, let's just get this out the way right now.
I know.
Yeah.
I hate all these questions.
Let's just get this out the way right now.
I hate every single one of these questions.
Since we on this NBA show, everybody understands
this. I mean, I put it out there.
Let me put it out here. The greatest shooting duo tandem of all time is Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yes.
We need to just stop with all this. People back in the '80s and Reggie Miller and listen, because
he was great though.
Because I love those guys.
Me too.
It's a wrap. That is the best shooting backcourt of all time.
It's really annoying.
Oh, by the way, Kevin Durant. Oh, hi. What's going on?
Yeah, he's guy. There too.
And that dude is fabulous. But those two Splash Brothers are so annoying. I can't.
It's unbelievable. Who has the best offensive firepower? Your team, dude.
Your team. Because you have the Splash Brothers and then you have Kevin Durant. And then magically, freaking Iguodala will be standing in the corner thinking what, I don't know, about what he's going to eat. He gets the ball and he shoots a three and he makes it. I don't understand.
And when Draymond's making it, that's when they can't be beat.
Yeah. Like, I can't.
I love that you said that, because Draymond Green is going to be, and PJ Tucker for Houston, I think, huge. Are going to be the two who are going to be left open a lot on the three-point line, you know, with each team kind of daring them to shoot because everyone else is kind of being covered. And I honestly feel like Draymond has more of a consistent shot.
Because
so.
I'm telling you right now, I'm not even going to lie. If I was playing against the Warriors, I would, not even joking, I would let Draymond
shoot whatever he wants.
I'd give him 50 feet of space.
We're not letting him shoot. He has to shoot. We got to go put three guys on Curry.
Y'all remember Game 7, right? Game 7 when against the Cavs, right? Draymond had the best game of any Warrior. He had like a 37, 10 and something like that. Because he was just, they were like, if you beat us, y'all going to win.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you need to stop getting out there in front of Draymond. You need to let him shoot that.
Just let him shoot it and you live with it. Because
if he's hitting three, it's a wrap. It's over.
Yeah, and you know he's not going to do that every game. So, like, if there's one game where Draymond is on fire, I don't think he's going to do that the next game.
No. He's not streaky when it comes to, like, defense and intensity. But when it comes to the shot, some games will be on, some games will be off.
Right.
You gotta let him do that.
Let him do it.
I think it's underrated, though, how much he creates his own offense, though, because he can cut through in the paint and still contribute in other ways. Oh,
I'm a firm believer that Draymond is the most important person on the team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. If I could pick one person to just get a little hurt, maybe just like a little like a sprained ankle.
Draymond's unbelievable.
Draymond is like the hope and fears and everything of the team in one. Like,
he's
that meme where he's like talking to KD and he's like pointing at him and like talking in his face. That meme is hilarious. And you can add anything to that. Like, treat yourself. Do whatever you want. Like, it's just so, and that's what he is to the team. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Is.
Like, he is their heart.
They had actually got that like watercolor painted and like made up really nice and framed. It's actually funny. I think it was on Katie's Instagram or somebody's page. I saw that this week and I was like, damn, that meme will live in infamy.
It's
like,
so good, but it's true. He is everything. And if he goes down, if he mentally goes down, the team will go down.
Because he's the mental strength of that entire team.
Yeah.
He's the strength of that entire team.
Yeah.
It's like not even, because everyone talks about his emotions. I think that's his negative, by the way. No one thinks that is. I think where Draymond doesn't get enough credit is his floor generalship. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a floor general. I've never seen anything like it. Like, he can get people in position. He notices mismatches. He pushes the ball up the floor. He sees somebody. He sees a switch. He calls switches. He sets screens.
He's
like,
smart.
All that emotion stuff. I hate when people are like, the emotional leader of the team. I go, man, that's they use that for people that didn't have no talent back in the day. That's what that really is, though. Release. He is a great basketball player.
He's really smart.
He doesn't get enough credit for how smart he is on the court.
Great IQ. Great basketball IQ.
Basketball IQ.
CJ Holder in the chat says they see PJ Tucker and Trevor Ariza going to be the main guys guarding. Are you talking about Draymond or KD in there? We're talking about KD. So, talking about some matchups.
Can't nobody guard KD.
No, you're not going to guard KD. He's just going to go, just take the logo over you.
They'll be around KD.
Put that one up.
Okay, well, since we're talking about that, let's shift gears and talk about matchups. Because I see in this series, I feel like the Warriors should put Iguodala on Clint Capela to kind of
balance
that out a little bit. And I see I see. I know a lot. There's been a lot of talk about putting Clay on James Harden, but I think they should match him up with KD just because of the height advantage that's there. So
yeah, I love Clay. Clay's one of the best perimeter defenders ever. That's another thing he don't get credit for. Six seven with range, he can shoot. That's why sometimes I guess they don't have an off night shooting. I think it's because he's guarding a hard offensive player. And I think he gets. Guys, people get tired. That's what I know. Lord have mercy, man. People get tired running all around. But no one can guard James Harden. I've never seen a one-on-one basketball player of that caliber in my entire life.
So you don't think anybody's shutting down James Harden?
Absolutely. Unless they collectively guard him. They got one-on-one, impossible.
Somebody's going to get tired.
They got to throw, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Steve Kerr on him.
Steve Kerr.
Dave Bloom's on fire right now. Dave Bloom's aspiring to my parking lot defense.
Parking lot defense. Right. You got to do it to Steph, but you got to do it to Harden as well. You got to put just like three guys right there guarding him in his face.
Absolutely. Because
he can make any bailout shot.
Yeah.
Any bailout shot. He can, he's one of the best shooters I think we've seen all season. He can hit wide open shots. But if he's got like two guys on him and the shot clock's down to two, he can turn around and hit that fadeaway.
He really can
step back and then cook on him and get cursed by Lil B. He's so good at getting the foul.
Like that was something Donovan Mitchell hated. He even said in a press conference, he said like some bad things about it, but something about like if that's what it takes to be MVP, I don't want it. But like he really does draw the foul in a way that nobody else
does.
But
that's an art though.
You have to be
that
like,
is an art.
It is. Extremely disciplined in your body and how you attack, like even just how you go, like if you're leaning too much, like it's down to like every little nook and cranny of your body has to be
every twitch.
You look a little too much this way. You just don't, like that's how meticulous you have to be when guarding someone like him.
With the young buck, gotta understand, Mitchell has to understand is like James Harden ain't calling the foul.
Right.
See, that's what the young buck does. You can't put his MVP on the line. You can't say that's crazy stuff.
Right.
Like, because he ain't blowing the whistle. This ain't playground basketball. Yeah. Like, he's going to the hole, and the refs are like, oh, we have to do something. Like, you don't have to call the foul, man. They always call a foul for James, man. Like, you don't have to do it. So it's one of those things where he puts the pressure on that whistle. So does Steph, though. People don't understand. Steph draws fouls, too, man. Steph goes to the hole. He makes people make decisions.
Well, he's done a better job at getting to the line this season. Yeah. He's utilizing that pump fake a little more, changing his body as he's going up to hit those layups.
He's a great finisher.
To draw the contact, which... honestly, I feel like in the 2 years prior in his MVP seasons, he wasn't getting those calls. And I felt like that was disrespectful to him personally.
I think it's... I might be crazy, but I feel like Curry is so, like, finesse that, like, he'll drive in and literally avoid you. And, like, he doesn't get fouled. And it might... But, like, James Harden will go into you. LeBron James will go into you. While I think Curry is just so finesse...
almost to a fault, like
an ice skater. He just kind of swivels away from it to try and get to the basket.
That's what I like about Steph, because all these people that go hard to the paint, them little guys, they get hurt, man. Listen, all that Westbrook, Iverson stuff, it's adorable. It's great for ESPN highlights. But Steph, dude, stay healthy, bro. I need to see you for 10 more years, man.
Yeah,
you got 2 extra days.
Avoid the contact. You little light in the locals, man.
he's a great shooter, but if he goes up against like any center in the entire NBA, he's getting hurt. He's getting hurt. And nothing against like his talent or skill
he's
or anything,
a small guy.
But he's a small guy. I mean, you can't fight that. It's genetic.
I want him to get I like that he avoids the contact.
Yeah, really. I think he does that because he's that good.
It's true, but you said it before. He's one of the best finishers.
He really is.
Yeah,
he's got some of the best floaters in the entire
His floaters would be so amazing and he'll get the contact, but I think the refs include everyone's just like, wow, he made it in, and then the game continues and I'm like, this was anybody else. Like, you're so mesmerized by the shot.
They're not even here, they're just like,
you're not even gonna give him the call.
That's a fair point though.
That used to drive me nuts.
That's all the way up
there. That is true. I've been seeing that sometimes. I'm like, that boy got murdered.
And he's like, hello, and it's like, yeah, we're so amazed by the circus shot that he's not getting those calls. But
like, you just threw one 50 feet in the air. It went out, hit a plane,
rest, man. They
went back down, and they were just like, whoa. And he's like, I just got slapped and like pushed to the ground. Can I have the foul? They're like, yeah, whatever. Good shot. Hold up.
Well,
it's too good.
This season, there's been a lot of talk of systems and coaches, obviously with Brad Stevens getting a lot of the headlines, but Steve Kerr's system and what they've created in Golden State is nothing to be overlooked. What Mike D'Antoni has created in Houston. So going into this matchup, which team do you think has the edge in terms of the system that they're playing in and the coaching style that's driving these teams?
Good question.
Rockets don't play enough defense.
Yeah. They're playing better defense, though.
Better, but not enough to beat the Warriors and their system. We'll and their spaced floor, literally every single person on the floor can shoot system.
I'm not sure yet, Bloom. I'm really not. This is the one I really... I had Houston winning, going to the finals since the first night they beat Golden State. I was like, oh, this team can beat them. But that was a totally different scenario. You're right about what you're saying. Like, but they've been playing better defense, man. D'Antoni hired a pretty good defensive like coordinator type guy, like defensive coach, and they just gotta come. You gotta be committed, man.
You have to. That's what it is. It's like all of them have to commit. We've talked about how the Warriors, like, they are all. They're every all in. Single one of them is in it. They're to locked win in. It.
Mm-hmm. No matter every play.
Every play.
They even it's got like Nick the... Young balling like that. Yeah. Nick Young's even scrappy. Oh,
it's... Don't give him too much credit. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, Swaggy P.
He's over here digging in. I'm like, well, you don't play no D. Yeah. Can you please stop buying into the system?
Like, I mean, that's probably his only highlight because offensively he hasn't been too amazing this year, but. If, sorry, but, I'm just hating on Nick Young right now.
Listen, it's okay. You're hating on a Warrior. Keep going. Yeah. It's fine. I'm with you that the Rockets could, you know, sit together and they could be like, listen.
You know what?
If we get together and we play as a team defensively, we have a chance. So I'm with you that they're not that great. They've been playing better. I think if they really wanted to, they could step up their defensive game just to the same level as the Warriors.
Yeah, game one's the whole series.
So you think stepping up their defense plus the system that they already have is going to get them over the hump?
It can't. I'm not saying it is.
Okay.
I'm saying it can get them over
the
hump.
It's one of the ways they can.
It's one of the ways they can.
Because D'Antoni takes a lot of heat. But let me tell you something he did do. He changed James Harden's career.
He did.
Oh, for sure.
Like, you can always talk about, well, yeah, he doesn't get it done. Man, these players got to play. Man, a coach can only draw up X's and O's. They have to play. How about they let him down in Phoenix? How about that? Y'all can talk about all this. He doesn't believe in defense. Okay, then. You know what? As a player, if you're on defense, play D.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know what? I'm just going to change the narrative a little bit. Like, these players have to play. James Harden, if you admit his career is, oh my goodness, like, I'm going to put the ball in your hand. I trust you to make decisions. It's been so long ago, people forget they said James Harden couldn't pass. James Harden wasn't a team player. Mm. James Harden's all about ball. He's a ball hog. That was a couple years ago. All these sports partners were saying that. What did he do the year D'Antoni came in there? Led the league in assists.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's D'Antoni's system has changed James Harden's career. And then CP3, like, committing to playing off the ball. Lord have mercy. Something that he could ever do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sitting back and chilling for a little bit. So it's interesting to see what, when people buy into the system. With all due respect, man, Amari Stoudemire was injured every 5 seconds. You know, let's be real, man. That Phoenix team was in shambles.
Yeah.
When you get a team, I know D'Antoni's like, this is the best team I've ever coached.
Oh, for sure. You know, he has to feel like that.
He's like, okay, these guys are buying into my system a little bit. Ariza's buying into my system. I like my squad right now. They're the number one seed in the West. Play ball, man.
Yeah.
Enough's enough, man. Y'all got to play ball.
Well, to keep our panel balanced, I also want to talk about the Golden State system since we spend so much time talking about Houston's. Because, it is the best in basketball. Other teams have restructured their teams to kind of keep up with it.
That's their whole season. It's basically, how can we compete with the Warriors?
I mean, that's everyone.
That's why they play. But they're like, all right, so we built the squad. What are you going to do in like 5 years? Mm-hmm. 5 years. No, we're going for the Warriors this year.
Yeah.
Like, that's all we care about.
They ain't worried about it in 5 years. Yeah.
No, but you're right.
And we've seen players come into this system and flourish. Look at JaVale McGee, how far he's come. And
I was about like when I hear his name.
Well, called. I mean,
y'all ain't right, man.
And players like Nick Young, who, like you've pointed out, are improving, being put into this system. It seems like it's a system that allows the best to be brought out of each player. Mm. And, you know, it's really anchored by this now Hamptons 5 that we've coined it. So
why do they call it that?
Yeah, why Hamptons?
Because they met up in the Hamptons to convince Katie to join this
team. I didn't know it was going to be a poop origin story.
What?
Listen,
you guys didn't know this?
America, that is the most garbage origin story I've ever heard. I was getting so excited for something like basketball related. We met up at the Hamptons
and
convinced Katie. Oh, hey, Katie. I hate this team so much. I'm back to hating this team again.
Thank you. Welcome. Come back. Come back to the good side.
Y'all are annoying.
I was hoping you didn't have the answer to that.
The light side.
You know I would.
How does that story not annoy you? Like, how does that not?
Okay.
We met up in the Hamptons.
It's kind of annoying, but you know, buzzwords, we need them. Because we can't call them the death lineup anymore. Zaza Pachulia is not part of that. So they have to change the name.
It does have a nice ring to it, though.
Yeah.
The Hamptons 5.
When are they releasing an album? I want to know. After the finals. Anywho. The last thing that I want to talk about before we wrap up is just hunger and the mindset going into these upcoming games. Because we've kind of spoke about it in the beginning, just the fact that, like, you know, Golden State, in a way, does feel disrespected by all the talk surrounding them finally being dethroned this year. And then on the flip side, Houston's like, we want it all. There's different narratives coming into this. So who do you think has the mental edge here? And the team that's more hungry for something they've never had, or a team that's looking to make a statement and repeat?
Well, if you're talking about hunger, I mean, think about this. You have one team that has, what, like two rings in the last like 3 years, one of the best offensive lineups I've ever seen, and the best record in the NBA. And you got a team with a player who's never actually been to a conference finals before, a player that's going for his MVP, and a team that hasn't won the championship, and I think in, what, a good amount of time.
Like Hakeem time.
Yeah. No, Hakeem time. I think like 1 or 2 years, maybe 2 in a row. The Rockets, of course they're hungry.
They are.
They want it much more. They built their entire team, I just said it before, to beat the Warriors. The Warriors... I'm gonna just put this. I'm trying to be like as much logic as I can. Think about it. If you've eaten twice in the past 3 years versus if you haven't eaten in the last couple like 1 or 2 decades.
And some people in their whole career.
Yeah. Some in their entire career. One person has never even tasted food before. Let me tell you.
Not I love this.
No food. Not even half of food. Not even a conference finals worth of food. Obviously, this team is gonna be hungrier. And that's going to show a lot because they're going to be fighting much more. The Warriors, I mean, I think the Rockets are going to take a couple games. The Warriors, I think the Warriors are going to pull it out, but the Warriors are going to be scared. They have not faced a team like this except for maybe the 3-1 lead Cavs in this era of these players.
Yeah, it's interesting because they're like, we're not scared of the Warriors, like my daddy always said. Daddy quote, you don't be scared to get your ass whipped. That's what my dad would say. You don't got to be scared. They ain't scared, right?
Yeah.
But when you got Steve Kerr talking about rings, this team, Houston, better be careful, man. Mm-hmm. The first 5 minutes of the game tomorrow will determine the series. I am telling you right now.
5 minutes.
5 minutes in. If they get the doors blown off them in 5 minutes, Houston will get swept.
Oh, if it's 60-3 in the first 2 minutes of the game.
That shows.
Steve Kerr
talking about rings? I said, did Steve Kerr just say, oh, Lord, this man don't never talk about no rings. So he really wants this team.
We've awakened the beast.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I can't believe it.
Because the Warriors have something to prove. Up until, you know, the last three seasons, let's be real, everyone was like, okay, the Warriors are going to win. The Warriors are going to win. Like, the season, it would be game one of the first, you know, the 2018 season, and it was like, okay, the Warriors are going to win.
Yeah, they were like, there's no debate.
There's no debate. Yeah. That's been the last couple seasons. It's been quite boring, let's be real, because everyone's expecting them to win.
It's true. Absolutely.
And now people are talking, hey, there's a chance that they could lose.
I got the upset, y'all. I'm letting y'all know. I've been calling it. I'm going to stand by it. It don't mean it's going to happen because I'm having nightmares just thinking about it, man.
I don't, you
First
know,
5 minutes, y'all. Hear me. First 5 minutes. You'll know.
It's true. It's too true.
Okay.
I don't want to go too far, but you know what I was thinking with my brothers? I was like, what if the Rockets win? Hold on. And then they lose to the Cavs.
Oh, that's my dream, though. You inside my head. It's like Inception.
I would hope that they lose to the Cavs.
No, because, like, I feel like they're going to put all of their marbles into this basket.
She has figured out my scheme. I want them to have 7 games, grueling, tough.
This is their finals.
This is their finals. But wouldn't that be freaking bizarre, like, if it went down that way?
That's what I want.
Yeah, the Cavs are there, like, he's hurt, you're tired, I'm just...
Because we don't have to beat the Warriors.
Go for it, LeBron. Hell, we don't even need him. Jordan Clarkson, come here.
That would be absolutely insane. It's gonna be a crazy series, but
it will be. We're kind of running late on time, so I didn't get a chance to show you guys this clip.
Oh.
But if you can, check out Steph Curry in his practice interview talking about, you know, kind of daring the Houston squad to guard him. And I know you wanted to talk about that, Evan, you know, because... A lot of legacies are on the line with the playoffs, and a lot of just like stigmas about players can either get validated or broken. Yeah. And one being Steph's defense.
This is Harden's whole career right here, by the way. His career defining series. If he shows up small, he will never live it down.
No.
They'll destroy him.
Oh, yeah. Let's run it. Just hear from Steph real quick.
Every single play. I hope it's every single play.
He's not joking. They're laughing. He's not laughing.
He's not laughing.
I'll be fine. I mean, obviously, James averages 30 points a game.
it's hard to stop, but for anybody in the league. But we've been in situations where teams want to try to pick on whoever. It's kind of funny if you look at the, sorry, coach, the Hamden Five.
There you go.
A lot of us out there. I would probably do the same exact thing if I was coaching against me. But that's when you got Clay, Andre, Draymond, and KD out there.
Partridge in a pear tree.
Exactly.
Embrace those opportunities to get stops, try to make it, you know, tough in those ISO situations, whatever the case is, and just do my job. And at the end of the day, for us, we have a pretty good game plan going into it. We've played teams that try to do that constantly, whether it's Cleveland in the finals the last 3 years or whatever team tries to do it, we handle our business.
All right. Well,
so listen,
he's saying they're going to handle business no matter who we throw at him.
Let me tell y'all something, man. Because this used to bother me, man. I used to go back and forth with people and let people like talk my ear off about Steph Curry's not that good. Steph Curry's overrated. And Steph Curry never played back in the day because of hand checking. And blah, 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 blah. Now, you know what? I don't know anyone that can guard that kid.
Mm-mm.
I've seen it enough. How many times y'all gotta see the same movie? How many times you gotta see Freddy Krueger or Jason to know that people gonna die? Steph Curry. I just sat back in the couch one day. I was like, I get so tired of people talking about the old era. They ain't never seen anything like that.
No.
I was watching. It was when they were closing out before we go. They were closing out the Pelicans, and like Rondo was guarding him. I'm gonna tell you something. Steph Curry, like, there's a clip where he stepped over half court, and it looked like he was about to shoot from half court, right? The defender jumped. Think about that.
They know.
He actually thought that I gotta guard that.
He can actually make it.
That's
crazy. And that was a valid contest.
Don't
tell
me that dude's overrated. It could happen. He just flinched, but he was just passing. But he was like, okay, we good. Like, he guarded the half court line. It's the funniest clip ever. I said that's not overrated right there.
Yeah.
That boy can ball, man. So so if he's feeling a little salty, man, y'all got to be careful, man. You don't want him getting mad.
Yeah. I will say, you know, I think a lot of the times with these supercharged kind of matchups where it can really go either way, it does come down, I believe, in basketball sometimes to just a matter of will and how much one player wants it. And I think people grossly underestimate how bad Steph wants this and will continue to silence his haters. So
yeah. let's not get his wife involved, because then she gets into
Aisha, stay off Twitter this
week. Bye, Aisha.
Hey,
like, go.
Just keep it quiet, man.
Yeah.
Well, this was so fun.
I love
when
the ladies tell another lady to be quiet. See, I like that.
No,
I like when the women
say,
shush.
Aisha. Just stay off Twitter.
Stop, girl.
Because they got the baby coming. You got to stay calm, you know.
Another baby?
Yeah,
you
they're
need to
expecting
slow down
a third
now,
one.
He's in 5 million people to college. He's good.
That's real talk.
He's cool.
That's real.
Well, that's it for this week, guys. Next week, we'll be probably talking about how crazy this series is going.
It's about
really
to get
really happy.
Yeah,
we're going to be back here, and it's going to be real.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
real.
So much to everyone who joined us in the chat tonight. You guys were awesome, contributing in
so
many ways. Until next week, you guys can find me all over social media at Christine Bean. David, where can they find you?
Bloom!
Yeah, you can find me at David H. Bloom on both Instagram and Twitter. Man, just
follow,
come on, Tara Rozier.
Just follow him.
Come on. You can follow me. You can do good in the playoffs, either or. Just, you know what I want.
Nobody else be talking about you. You better follow him. I'll be watching the sports show. They'll nobody talk about Terry Rozier. Mm-hmm.
That is very true. Your number one fan right here. You guys can find me across social media at Monse Bolanos, MonseBolanos.
Oh, it's your boy. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at Evan T. Mack. Holla at your boy, man. You'll be a Terry Rozier. Stop playing.
You know, hold on. I'm going to say this real quick. Right here, right now. Celtics win the series, I'm buying a jersey.
Whoa.
I'm buying one, and I'm wearing it to the next show we do when they're in the finals.
You heard it first.
Wow. You right here.
Rosie.
It's official. That is official.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.